Matthew 10. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases or disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So what he's done here is that he has he's been with the disciples for a while, a couple of years. And so now he's saying, something. Now his role vis-a-vis the disciples is going to be different than it has been. His role to the disciples up to this point was they sort of sat around and did stuff and talked a lot. He's with them 24 hours a day, and they walked around, sat under trees a lot, took a lot of smoke breaks, a lot of coffee, went out to eat a lot. But fundamentally, he was just with them. Searched the scriptures. Showed how he was, that the only thing the scriptures did was testify of him. It isn't the end yet, I mean, in terms of him going anywhere, being crucified. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses. That's the trouble with some of your purses, it's full of brass. Anyway. Nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide ye, abide till you go thence, or go from there. When you come into a house, salute it. If the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. That's pretty powerful stuff to say to a bunch of dorks.
It's really wild in verse 13 that there's no way to be not in peace, for them to be not in peace.
That's right.
Great.
But I want you to capture for a moment in your minds the arrogance of this. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. Now the definition of worthy is, are you accepted? There is no greater arrogant concept or position in the universe. If you go somewhere and they accept you, the place is worthy. If they don't accept you, it's not worthy. They haven't even finished their training yet. And you're running around worrying about whether somebody likes you or don't like you? I mean, that's... Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart, because you'll leave if they won't, obviously, of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. It doesn't matter whether it's a house or a whole city. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Yeah, tell me, what are you worried about? When are you going to capture what your inheritance and who you are is? It's time. Now, we just had the predicate for it. They had no money, no gold. They had a pair of sandals. They had nothing. But they said, don't worry about it, for you're worthy of your hire. Who's your boss? Who's gonna write in your paycheck?
Your phone.
The Father. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Are not two sparrows sold for one farthing? And the two sparrows, by the way, that's a direct reference to lepers, for those of you who... Now, you got to start knowing this by now. I mean, we're gonna go on a fast course here from now on. We're not gonna take 10 years.
Instead of the lazy track we've been on.
Yeah. You haven't seen fast course yet. Behold, I send you forth. Now that's the predicate up here. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Now he's repeating, he's sending forth. You don't have any other function other than to be sent forth. Why? To be an evangelist or as a healer or a demon deliverer? No. All of those things will happen. These signs shall follow them that believe, not lead.
Amen.
The problem with modern religion, especially the charismatic movement, is they've tried to make these signs lead the disciple. But you have one reason for being sent forth. I don't care what you are doing. I don't care what kind of a quote-unquote job or not job you have, that is not your job. Your job is being sent forth. And that world that you're sent forth into is the world, is your world. As you go into your world, you make disciples. God doesn't want any more little bodies running around. So you're making this, God's always playing tricks. God is only sending you forth, and tonight you are being sent forth for one reason. And that is to experience the next level of testing. Now, I say this tonight because tomorrow, probably, or the next day, those that receive D Magazine, there's going to be an article about me or us or something. Who knows what the hell is going to be in the article? But you're going to be publicly identified with some weird stuff.
That's for sure. Not in some obscure mag either.
Downtown.
Oh, well.
Okay, now. Behold, again, he repeats it. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Up to this point, you've gotten those two reversed.
Rub it in.
Well, that's what you've done in the spirit. You've walked totally and completely without wisdom because you had personalized every stimulus that come in your way. That means walk without wisdom. I don't care how smart you do it. As long as you personalize the stimulus, you're walking without wisdom. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, somehow.
You've been walking with the wisdom of a dove, but you're as harmful as a deadly serpent. Because when you personalized it, it never went your way, so you had a response to that, and that was to strike out. What?
That's a dove sound.
That sounds quite like a dove.
No, that's true.
That's true in dove language.
So now, to be sent forth means you've gotten those two positions in the right order.
Wow. That's exciting.
You got it? Now you're sent forth as dummies. You don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't know what's going to happen next. You don't really believe.
Keep going.
This makes sense.
Yabba, go.
Dummies. But they were too.
But they were worse.
Why? They weren't good. I don't know.
Because they were much younger. They were much less able to deal with their world than you are to deal with yours.
Yeah. What does that mean? Able to deal with their world.
You're able to survive.
Okay, that's what I wanted to
know. You're anyway.
Yeah.
But they went forth as dummies. The main reason that you're far better off than they are at this point. Because the Holy Spirit has been given it to you.
Sorry, it's our cat. Never mind, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Now,
anyway.
Think, it doesn't matter what your level of knowledge is. It doesn't matter what you think your level of faith is. It doesn't matter how much you think you love or can't love. It doesn't matter how much you think you've picked up the cross or not picked up the cross. None of that shit matters. That's religion. Now what matters is a knowing. And the knowing position that Christ sent these guys forth in was, if anybody, it doesn't matter. Even if the disciples got it wrong and the people didn't pay attention to them,
they were dusted.
You know, I mean, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Can you feel it a little bit?
Yeah. It's the weirdest kind of commission.
I was over here thinking about dancing on your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, in other words, you now, by being, by the act of being sent forth, it means that you have never, ever, ever, for 1 minute of time, in all of as long as time chooses to exist, by the will of the Father, the mercy of God, you never, ever have to worry about getting it right.
Amen.
Anything right.
Yeah.
Now you can perceive and understand you are high priests and kings from a spiritual standpoint, and so now you can walk and live by the divine right of kingship.
No wonder you send back the English muffins. Starting to see why.
Now stop a minute and think. When that kid took the crown, I mean, there's thousands of people from history. When he's 8 years old or 7 years old or whatever, or however old he is, he becomes king or emperor. It doesn't matter whether he's right or wrong. You understand?
Yeah.
That's right.
He is reigning by divine decree. Can you perceive for a second the freedom of never again having to worry about whether you're right or wrong?
Yes.
Or whether you have faith or not faith?
Yeah.
Or whether you have doubt or not doubt?
Or whether you have love
or not love? Yeah. In other words, it's impossible in this certainty to ever again be in a position in where a stimulus has anything to do with you.
Could have just been effective.
Now what?
I like it. What? I thought
it.
But be aware or beware of men. Now all that means is be aware of. For they will deliver you up to the councils and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now that doesn't compute with what I just said. Oh, yes it does. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For you shall be given, for it shall be given you in that same moment what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, that's not just true in a condition of being delivered up. That's always true. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
We have just annihilated all high place identities. All, everything. By a divine decree. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, who gave you the right to do that? God.
Now this included Judas Iscariot.
Now watch. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. When they persecute you in this city, flee you into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and that the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops, etc., 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 etc. Fear not them which kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, you are more value than many sparrows. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now the word confess him doesn't mean running around hollering Jesus Christ. To confess him before men means that you speak the same thing as he speaks. And to deny him before men doesn't mean you run around to deny that Jesus Christ exists. To deny him means to say that you exist. To deny him means for one instant to take yourself seriously. This stuff that I've just told you, you can't do in the natural. It can only be done when you abandon yourself. It'd be like somebody coming along and giving you, all of a sudden you're the emperor of the world, or the emperor of the universe or something. You wouldn't know what to do. But this arrogance is the position that's automatic. It means that all it means is that from now on you don't have to worry about a damn thing. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's pretty awesome.
It is.
Now the reason for all this, from God's standpoint, is locked into verse 22. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. God doesn't give a holy flip about sperm cells running up the fallopian tube. He doesn't care about abortion. He cares about the enduring till the end in the spirit, which means that sperm cell has come up the tube, entered the egg, full-term pregnancy, and a child is delivered. That's why Paul's only concern for the people that he was discipling was, my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Now, right, you're sent for. This isn't the laying out of hands sending for.
Say, don't touch me with those hands.
Student teacher.
Am
I communicating a little bit?
Amen.
What kind of sent forth is this? Student teachers. Okay.
Training wheels.
training wheels.
Right. You know what else is true about that part that where it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. The endureth to the end could never happen with any shame, because if you ever felt forsaken, if you ever, there were moments when you felt forsaken, you would never be able to have that kind of complete trust.
Right.
And that's such a pale phrase. You can never trust to that degree.
I was telling some of the people that when we were eating today that the more I've studied the star chart, the more I'm convinced, especially in the next one we're going to study, Hercules, that a great deal of the myth and all of the weird battles and myths that go on in, well, ancient mythology was a perversion of the truth, not necessarily about what Christ did while he walked, but what Christ did in the 3 days and three nights. And we'll see that when we study the, there's the 12 labors of Hercules, which to me sound like, and we'll see what it's what took place in that depth of hell when he walked through hell.
I mean, there's a lot of guys go to Hades, man.
But I want to get you in the idea of, in order to endure, the idea of enduring or abiding has no merit unless it's tied to what in the natural seems like its opposite, to be sent forth. I mean, there's no merit in hanging around, which is what you would think in like abide or endure. It's what Larry thought for 10 years. Larry hang around until he got, you know, and then hands were laid on him. He said, oh shit, now I'm going to run for somebody else. I'm going to go find another place where I can hang around.
He told me that. When we were over there, he said that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he sees that perfectly.
Yeah, he does. Because I had never said this.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, he does. He sees it perfectly.
The merit of abiding or enduring till the end is the tying of the endurance or the abiding or the overcoming in the process of being sent forth. Amen? Luke 22.
What?
Luke 22.
Luke.
Oh. Luke.
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 Luke. Luke.
Luke. Luke.
Luke.
Luke.
Luke.
Luke.
Luke.
Luke.
Luke.
Oh, hey, we rip off enough Gideons, we're going to be calling out page numbers.
Now that's spooky.
Yeah.
There was also strife among them.
Where?
Luke 22, 24, I'm sorry. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest, or the most important. The greatest is a bad translation. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Well, that's another whole world. But you shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Now, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit in thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, the operative
that's neat.
Scripture.
He talks about how things are, you know, the kings are this and this, and he says, but not so with you, it's the opposite. And then he says, you're kings, so in other words, inferred, you know, then you serve.
Amen. So everything in the kingdom of God is opposite. But now we've got a deal here. You see, here's I tricked you. Because once I said what? You are sent out, what that means is that you can never again have your own testing. What do you understand that? Nothing can ever. Nothing can ever be your test or your temptation or your struggle or your problem. Can't be.
Whose is it?
You are they which have continued with me in my temptation. Now, just as they screwed up from that, so will you. But from now on, the overriding reality in your life is that never again can you have a trial or a tribulation or a problem. From now on, you are they that continue with him in his temptations. You understand me? You then take the personal pronoun out of your life. From now on, you can walk as Paul, as John, as Peter, as the rest of the disciples. If you would analyze their life, the only fundamental difference between their life was the lack of the I motive. Positive or negative. You've spent too much time, because I didn't want to do this before. You spent too much time poor me shit.
Are you saying the I motive is gone and anything else is a lie?
Yes.
If I think I'm motivated, it's just me thinking that.
Right? Right. If you think you understand something, oh, I understand. Or if you think you see something, oh, I see. Or if you think you're having a problem, oh, poor me, oh, I have this problem, oh, or I have this need. In other words, let none of you suffer as a I. Now, you are they that continue with him in his temptations. It doesn't matter whether it's a foreman at a rock concert, or a husband, or a wife, or an Ollie, or Barbara, or anybody else giving you a hard time. They can't give you a hard time. No situation, no illness can come upon you. By his stripes you are healed, were healed. No temptation, no testing can come upon you. You got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reason is you've been sent for. Got a little bit of it?
Mm-hmm.
That's wild.
There never again has to be a struggle to understand or a struggle to see or a personal battle over some issue.
Because we're dead and he's complete.
Oh, I know, but it's those things will happen.
Yeah, but there won't be personal battle over an issue.
Right, and you'll get deceived.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And you'll think, oh, poor me, or why is this happening to me, or what do I understand, what shall I see from this? What's God trying to teach me in this? Well, you dumb fuck, he's trying to teach you nothing.
Yeah.
Now you can finally stop being religious. You got it?
What are you looking at?
Especially me and Rex.
Got a little bit of an understanding, just a teeny bitty hint.
Yes.
It's not bad news.
No.
It's pretty good news. Now, look out world. What?
We're gonna kick spiritual butt. That's our lead.
You see, you can never again, Satan never tempts you to do wrong. That's what the world always thinks. Oh, he's tempting us to do this or that, or I feel so guilty. Oh. the only temptation that Satan, the only thing that Satan's coming against you on is along the line of you no longer being of value to God. He doesn't care about anything else because you're already his in the first place. He will do every trick in the book from now on to try to get you to bring back the personal pronoun into your life. I guarantee it. Because I've been there, I've experienced it.
To make you think you're not of value?
He shifts their point of view from God to man. Whether it's me man or you man.
Yeah.
He shifts their point of view from God to flesh. You understand me?
Yep.
That's the only arena that you'll be tested in from now on. Because you have continued with him in his temptation. That was his only temptation. What's going on?
She's trying to look like Mr. Spock. She was too
funny. I'm over here just trying to move. It's like I move even a meter. I won't understand anymore.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
Yeah.
That's what's going on.
How many times did you use the personal pronoun in that sentence? In John 6, he just did all these wonderful things, fed 5,000 of them. Then he said something like I just said to you. And he said, he talked about eating his flesh, which is really what this is about. And 4,988 left.
Later.
See you, buddy.
Worse than one of Ed's jokes.
From that time, many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more.
Because they weren't chosen?
Because they had another option. No. Now, we will continue to be, we are fed the bread of life in Jerusalem, in the New Jerusalem, in the body. But we bear his reproach outside the camp.
What do you mean bear his reproach?
Suffer his temptations, continue with him and his.
It's like his reproach is suffered outside.
What's going on? Oh. Now Christ never hurried.
Never what?
Hurried.
He never hurried to where he was persecuted, never stayed where he was welcome. What?
A mystery.
The goofy Messiah.
Our aim is to confess him before men. Not saving people, or being useful to people, or blessing people.
That's
or praying for people. We're not going to start Operation Blessing.
I was so looking forward to it.
Oh,
format for Operation.
Our aim is to do and be the will of the Father. Now, there will be people saved. There will be people blessed. We will be useful. We will help. A few will hear. A few will show gratitude. Most will show gross ingratitude.
Thank you for slapping me.
But nothing must deflect us from going up to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
We have set our face as flint.
In this, in the other one we read, Matthew, where was the first one we read? He said, "As you go, preach." What does he mean?
Preach.
It's not religious, right?
He means preach. Preach just means prophesy. You prophesy with wisdom. That's all preaching is.
Yeah.
Just saying what's there with wisdom. The two witnesses in the temple, Enoch and Elijah, are sitting there. It's not for you to define it. Don't worry about definitions. Now, interestingly enough, there's this great... as long as your purpose is to be a disciple, you can be sure you won't be. Does that communicate?
Yeah.
As long as your purpose is to try to be holy, you can sure you won't be.
Yeah, I was in the holy mode recently.
It's like when taking anything else
at work.
It's like everything you try to do is coming.
I think that's probably why I almost killed one of the roadies accidentally, because I was in the holy mode.
What do we do then?
Let go.
We believe on him. Oh, yes, sir.
Oh. There it is. There you have it.
Well, that's it then.
Oh, you know the rest of the story.
But you...
Okay, then.
You, each one of you sitting here tonight, whether you can feel it or know it or not, are as of this second inexorably changed. You can never again be the same. Because now you have been sent. And that's an act that has more spiritual, more massive implications than you can ever believe.
That's neat. They were sent out, but they're still under covering. I mean, it's like... I don't know, that just hit me, you know, that's the difference between being laid hands on and you become someone else's covering, but I mean, this, you're sent, but you're still under your covering. Mm. That's neat.
This is a far better position.
Yeah.
I
don't
know. Do you understand what's happened tonight? A little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, you look like you just ate a prune.
Not really. No, I mean, you said, do you understand what's happened tonight? And my honest answer is, not really.
Okay.
Sort of, kind
it's
of.
It's like I'm going...
what I understood was just that the I mode of being taken out, and you just... I mean, it's such a bizarre concept, but yet it's...
But the I mode is taken out by the decree of preaching, which is the greatest irony in the universe.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it's...
In other words, it's the same as the you become, you know, by an accident of birth you become king. Well, by an accident of preaching, you've removed the I motive is removed. Mm-hmm. Because by the simple statement of being sent forth and the statement of saying, now you are they that have continued with him in his temptations. No longer yours. You're out of the picture. Mm-hmm. The act of being sent forth takes you out of the picture. Because it's only him that can be sent for. Read Isaiah. You'll see that clearly.
Neat.
In other words, it's the greatest trick on the deceiver that's ever possible. There's no human being, it's not possible for a man to be sent for.
Well, it's like he also can assess, be his detector. If you think there's an I motive, you can know you're being deceived.
It's all. That's all. And the deception is only from here.
Oops.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah.
Take a large entity.
Take a big guy. Take each one of these.